course, as we all know, that very few people understand the real truth about things. The majority of people have ideas about the truth, and you know that an idea of the truth is not the truth. But if all nations and all people could see the falseness of the things that separate one from another, they would fall away. And then we would have unity. But as you notice, and as you know, I refuse to allow strangers to come into these classes. People who come into these classes must make application. Therefore, we do not allow anybody, any stranger, into these classes for the simple reason that the majority of people are not yet ready to receive the higher knowledge of the Masters. Therefore, as we say, many are called, but few are chosen. And it's those who are really chosen now amongst you are those who begin to understand the real meaning of helping one another. Now, it is not so much helping one another of yourselves, but to help one another to see the falseness and the things that are hindering the expression of reality, that are preventing the world from becoming a harmonious place through which everybody could live in harmony and peace and plenty. My purpose, of course, when I was in the Himalayas some years ago, I was called to the Himalayas, as you know. I didn't think, of course, it would be my privilege to do this particular kind of work. Anyway, I was called there. And when I got to Calcutta, I thought that the person would meet me there, so I looked around, but no one met me there. So I went on still further, and I thought to myself, will I go any further? I think it all may be a hoax. I don't think I will go. Something told me to go. So I took the train up to Siliguri, and I thought perhaps at Siliguri that someone would meet me there that knew all about me. Nobody was there. So I went on further to Kalimpong, away in the mountains at the foot of the Himalayas, and there I stayed for 2-3 days. And all of a sudden, I was out one morning, and a man dressed in purple robes met me on the pathway. And he said, "You have arrived, my son." Therefore, he told me all about myself and my experience and how I was called here and so forth. Then I knew that it was true. And then I started telling him what I thought, what I knew about things, my ideas of the truth. And after I talked about an hour or more, he said to me, "My son, it doesn't matter very much whether it is true or not, does it?" So my balloon was gone, and I was as fat as a pancake. And that is just exactly the position of everyone. They must become so humble to recognize that they are nothing. And it is when we recognize that we are nothing that we begin to build up that which is really essential in our lives. And I want to thank you very much indeed for your contribution to the sanctuary. As you know, the sanctuary is a worldwide organization now. We are sending letters to about 40 different countries in the world. And we have replies to many of them. We have sometimes anxious cables and wires and airmail letters asking for help. And that help is given all over the world. We know that I am not alone in this work because there are many invisible workers with me who are working day and night, working all the time. That is why I say the sanctuary works 24 hours of the day. Therefore, it is these spiritual forces that know your desire, that know what you need, and you are given that help immediately. Don't think that I am the only one in this sanctuary. There are thousands of spiritual helpers who are working all the time, helping each one of you. And when I ask for anything, I know that it will be granted. And the easiest way for a person to receive that help is to be open-minded. Not to, I mean to say, faith to a great extent is faith that is very often the opposite of fear. That is because you fear something, you want to have faith to overcome what you fear. That is nonsense. That is not the faith at all. The faith that you need is the understanding of the spiritual power that exists now at this very moment. And we will never understand it until we begin to discern that which is preventing its manifestation. So it is not a faith that is born of fear, but a faith that is born of understanding. And that is why that we have such great success in the sanctuary. Transformation within is the salvation of the race. He said to them, "And who do you say I am?" So Simon Peter replied, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered him, "You're a blessed man, Simon Barjona, for it was my Father in heaven, not flesh and blood, that revealed this to you." Matthew 16:15-16:17. It is most important to experience what is said in these talks than to discuss merely on the verbal level. What we are aiming at is to experience in the deeper strata of consciousness rather than to superficially discuss whether ideas themselves are true or not. For ideas will never transform the self, nor will they bring peace and harmony. To know that ideas will never bring peace and harmony is not enough. We must not merely discuss on the verbal level or react to what I say, because reaction doesn't bring action. It is when the deeper stratas of consciousness become aware of what is said, there is a change taking place. Now, I've experienced that often myself, and you will have experienced it too, that while I'm talking to you, that in the deeper stratas of consciousness there is a release, there is a transformation taking place, and that is what is essential. To merely hold the intellectual level, as far as we are concerned, is of little value, because we can intellectually know what an idea is, but that will never cause a transformation within. And it is necessary to have a transformation within before you have transformation without. If there is no transformation within, there can be no transformation without. The present day is that there is no transformation within. Therefore, we have wars, troubles in the world today. A little while ago, a few evenings ago, I told you that we could not have a peace that is born out of war. There is no such a thing as peace born out of war. It is not an impossibility, because peace will just be the opposite of war. Therefore, you'll be living in opposites, war and peace. Therefore, there can be no peace under those circumstances. And I told you that there would not be any peace until such time as we begin to realize the causes of war. And we have got to see and recognize the cause of war before we'll have peace. And the causes of war will then pass away and dissolve into nothingness. And peace is that which exists at this very moment. That peace exists. We do not create peace. We do not make peace. Peace comes when the turmoil ceases. And it is the cause of the turmoil that we have to see, and the falseness of the conditions which bring about war, which is separation. We only have to see these things and understand them, and then we find that we have transformation within ourselves. Ideas will never transform the self or the world. Outward transformation comes only when there is an inward transformation through experience. To merely try to eliminate from our minds, bodies, and circumstances adverse conditions without inward transformation is useless. Is it not the general practice to try and place health, happiness, and abundance in the place of ill health, unhappiness, and lack? But is this not living in opposites, reverting from one to the other? You hold an ideal of health, and all the time you're struggling with ill health. You're holding an ideal of happiness, and all the time you're struggling with unhappiness. You have an ideal of plenty, and you're struggling with lack. Don't you see now that ideals are of no value whatsoever, because they do not create the conditions that you require to bring about that peace, that harmony, that health? You have to see the causes of these things, and these are rest in the self. The self is the individual that causes all your troubles. Now, once you begin to understand the self, its ways, then it begins to follow me. Now, the self is but an illusion, because the self does not exist in reality at all. Reality is one whole where there is no division. It's an expression of oneness, wholeness. Therefore, the self is an illusion. It does not exist in wholeness at all. The self is a self-created condition by the individual. When the individual begins to see that he is nothing at all, and in that nothingness of the self comes into being the reality, which is wholeness and completeness. Some of you have not yet grasped this truth, but you must find it yourself. I cannot give it to you. When you switch on the electricity, you expect the light. So it is with life within. We do not create the light is the electricity. So is life the light of man. We do not create life, life is. And it is to experience the ever-present life in the present that is essential, and not the placing of a positive in the place of a negative, which is merely a conflict of opposites. Now, what do you try to do? Haven't you not been taught by stupid people that you've got to place a positive in the place of a negative? That you have to try and cover up the negative with a positive? Well, that's the most stupid thing I've ever heard, because the negative will always remain. You have to discern the negative and how it arises, therefore, so that it passes away and dissolves into nothingness where it belongs, and reality then takes its place. Negative and positive ideas are both in the mind at the same time. You create one and you create the other. They become opposites, which create a conflict in the mind continuously, having and not having, so forth, continuously, conflict that goes on in the mind. Unless you begin to see this conflict and understand the conflict of opposites, you'll always be caught up in them, and you will never know reality. You only experience reality when you have discerned what opposites are and how they come into being in your mind. Therefore, it is not a superficial change that is needed, but a radical transformation which is so essential in the individual and the world, which is rapidly disintegrating. Unless there is this profound experience of life itself, there can be no awareness of reality. Without awareness, our minds are bound by the paralyzing suggestions that come to us from the crude thinking of the race, suggestions that are accepted and acted upon without question. Are we not subject to these paralyzing suggestions continuously? We accept without question, act on these suggestions with disastrous results. You listen to a talk, you listen to somebody talking, a person who's caught up in nationality, a person who's caught up in separation, a person who's caught up in a political idea, a person that talks about these sort of things is dividing people, is dividing you, and you do not know it that you are being divided. One nation then becomes divided against another. One group becomes divided against another. One religion becomes in opposition to another. And all at the same time, the one life is permeating you all. Don't you see the falseness of these other things that are separating you, that are dividing you into groups, creating antagonisms, strife, and war? If war exists in the individual, it must exist in the world. If antagonism exists between individuals, then it must exist in the world, because the world is individuals. Impressions of fear, worry, disability, and infirmity are given to us daily. The effects are sufficient to cause much sickness, misery, and unhappiness. But if we can be wide awake and discern our thinking, and thereby transform the inner by the awareness of the false, but to try and think the opposite while we accept those suggestions is pure ignorance. The ever-present reality is always present, and it itself is expressing itself. Therefore, there is no need to cause a conflict and confusion of opposites. But this truth has not yet penetrated the consciousness of man. All the time you are getting ideas. Ideals and ideas separate people. And if you hold an ideal, you try to force your ideal into being, you must be a ruthless person to bring it into operation. Now you can see what was happening in Germany just recently. There was an ideal. Therefore they tried to force the ideal upon the people, but the people rebelled. So therefore that is the same thing that's going on all over the world. Unless you are capable of being aware of seeing the false, then you'll be dragged into those terrific whirlpools of antagonisms which are now spreading throughout the whole world. Not only are they spreading among nations and groups, but they are now spreading among smaller groups and individuals. And you have to be very, very careful that you are not drawn into the whirlpool to be destroyed with them. As you know, I said that many are called, but few are chosen. Now you will know this. When you listen to what I have said, you will know when you hear people try to preach the truth and tell you what the truth is. You will know how false that teacher is. The fact is this, that I am not telling you what the truth is. And I am not giving you an idea of the truth. What I'm trying to do is to take all the ideas of truth you ever had, or ever will try to have, or ever think about, away from you, so that that reality in itself, which is eternal and ever-present, will express itself. It will express itself in you and me and every one of us. And we will find that the same life, the same spirit, same God is in each and every one of us. And unless we recognize this wonderful truth, that we must discern that which is false, so that the true shall manifest. And when we see what is false, we no longer hold to it. It passes away. It is glorious truth. Yes, at one time I was filled with ideals and ideas. I tried in my early period of life still teach something of the truth. When I look back now, I see how stupid I was. I see how infantile I was. But now I come to the conclusion that I myself am nothing. And it is from the nothingness that the self is understood. Then reality in all its glory begins to manifest. The spirit alone has voice. The voice alone gives expression to the spirit. But if one is conditioned, therefore they'll give expression to their own conditioning. But if you discern your conditioning and understand how it comes about, it will fall away from you, and then your thinking will be pure. Modern science has revealed that light and sound are simply different intensities of motion. So are the thoughts of mankind different intensities of motion, self-created. To try and separate man from his thoughts is useless, for man and his thoughts are one. Man's thoughts are the result of his own experiences, his beliefs, and the acceptance of external suggestions. This is not pure thinking, but is the thinking in his conditioning. Pure thinking comes when we thoroughly understand ourselves and our thoughts, and from where they arise and how they arise. Therefore, you can discern in your own mind whether you are expressing your own conditioning, and if you do not know that you are conditioned, you will be expressing your conditioning. But if you see how you are conditioned, by your belief, by any particular thing, no matter what it may be, you will see that it is your conditioning. If you then free yourself from your conditioning and strip yourself from all your beliefs, all your ideals and your ideas, then in that moment of freedom, moment, mind you, of freedom, you will express reality. And only moment to moment can you express reality. If the past is uppermost in your mind, are you not expressing the past? If you are troubled with the future, are you not expressing your hopes for the future? Then, if you are living in the past and the future, you will never express reality, because you will not see that you are conditioned by the past. If you see how you are conditioned by the past, then it will drop away from you. You will have no antagonisms, no hates, nothing whatsoever, and you will not be conditioned in any way whatsoever, and at that moment, you will express reality. That was the Christ. That was Jesus the Christ. He at that very moment recognized his wholeness and completeness. And in his healing and everything he did, at that moment he knew his completeness, his wholeness. He knew that he and the Father were one, and there was no separation between them. But it was moment to moment. It was not in the future that this would happen, nor something out of the past, but the living presence that exists now. And that is the only way that you can express reality. And when you live from moment to moment, you will see that the self becomes nothing, because it's reality that is expressing itself. When man transforms himself, his thoughts will be in accordance with that transformation. Therefore, transformation is our first line of defense. Matter is mind materialized. Mind substance is the basis of everything you see and feel. And what you see and feel are merely effects. Cause is within. Yet the majority are reacting to effects every day of their lives through lack of understanding their reactions. When this is so, there is ignorance of the cause. Now, I told you before, very often what you see and feel and touch are but vibrations. The most extraordinary thing is this, that everything is made up in your mind, what you see, feel and touch. Light vibrations strike the retina of the eye, pass through to the optic nerve, into the optic thalamus, into the optic center, and from there those vibrations branch off to the various centers of the brain, centers of dimension, color, and so forth, and then the memory cells come into activity, and a picture of what you see is made up in your mind. What you hear is the same thing. You hear a sound. If I was talking in a foreign language you never heard, you would have a sound on me. You wouldn't know what I was saying. But you see that you learn language, so therefore you hear the sounds of my voice, you understand the words, and these vibrations pass into your brain, into your mind, and you make up in your mind instantly what I'm saying, and you begin to understand. Therefore, everything is made up in your mind. But reality is not made up in your mind. An idea of reality is made up in your mind, but an idea of reality is not reality. What you make up in your mind is relative. It is not real. It's imaginary. It's your own imagination, and you make it up in your mind according to your experiences, according to your knowledge, whatever the case may be. But to know that it is made up in your mind is essential. Therefore, it is essential that you must know that an idea of reality is not reality. And no matter how many ideas you get about reality, you will know that it is false. It is not reality. I have found, and you will find too, when the conflict of the mind, the conflict of ideas are understood and dissolved. The mind becomes quiet of its own nature. You cannot force your mind to be quiet if it's still in conflict. You are only creating a condition of further conflict. But most of you are still in conflict and you try to suppress the mind. You try to force it into a particular channel. You try to hold it in subjection so that no other thought can pass into your mind so that you can create an idea in it. That is your meditation. That's not my meditation. Neither is it the Master's meditation. My meditation is not a mind that is controlled, cajoled, and forced to be quiet. My mind is a mind that is freed from opposites, freed from these things that trouble it. I see the falseness of these things as they move out from my mind. I watch them and look at them as you would examine a bird or someone else, impersonally. There is no judgment. There is no condemning or blaming. There is a freedom in this looking at things, knowing how false they are. Therefore, they become clearly discerned. The mind becomes quiet and peaceful. There is no longer any strife, conflict, fear, or doubt. There is no longer fear and faith together. There is no longer wanting and having together. These things are understood. The mind becomes peaceful of its own because in the very depths of the consciousness and the mind, there is the peace. And in that depth of peace is reality. Then you experience reality. There is an experience of this which is not your own. It is something that is beyond the mind. It's an experience of something that takes you completely and you become part of it and there is no longer the self anymore. The self no longer exists. And not until such time as you know that the self is nothing, you will never experience reality. You only have an idea of reality which is leading you away from it. Is it not so that we look to action according to a particular formula or theory? One pattern of action here and another there, so we choose the one which suits us because of suggestions that come from outside. There can be no transformation within when this condition exists, so we act according to the pattern laid down that suits us according to our ideals, which are generally a protection for the self. So we are faced with the problem of killing our brother in the name of religion, of peace, of a country, and so on. And we will not find the answer in further conflicting and opposing forces. And we will find the answer only in ourselves. That answer comes when we see the stupidity of all this conflict. The true answer is not to be found in the dualistic pattern of thought. We kill because of our property, our safe, our prestige is threatened. As with individuals, so with groups and with nations. To be free from violence and non-violence, there must be freedom from acquisitiveness, ill will, and the rest. Because we do not go into the problem deep enough, we are satisfied with reform, with alterations, within the pattern of duality. So within the pattern we try to bring about a modification, a change. So we maneuver to a better position, to a more advantageous point for ourselves. Change within the pattern only creates further conflict and pain and further disintegration. And that what's taking place at this very moment throughout the world today, a change within the pattern, will not bring peace, will not bring harmony. Change within the pattern will create more disintegration and more confusion until the whole world is embroiled in the conflict. There can be no peace, I tell you, out of war. There can be no peace that is born out of war. There can be no peace when war is its opposite. There can be no peace when war and peace are existing in conflict with one another. There can be no peace. Watch my words and you will see how true they are. A little while ago we were talking about peace. Yes, a peace made out of war. But what happened? One joker there thought he was doing a good thing, so he let out all the prisoners, let them free. So, there was more strife. Now we have more strife within the pattern. All these things exist within the pattern, do they not? And therefore you can have no peace within the pattern. You must see the causes of war. You must see the falseness of all these things. You must see why we are antagonistic to one another. And not only see that, but we must see the falseness of it. We must go beyond the pattern of duality to solve the problem of opposites. Within the pattern there is no truth, however much we try to capture it. If we seek truth in the pattern, we will be led into many delusions. We must go beyond the pattern of opposites, of the I and the not I, the possessor and the possessed, far beyond and above the endless conflict of duality and opposites lies true and creative understanding. This is to be experienced, not to be speculated upon. Not to be formulated, but to discern through deep awareness these dualistic hindrances. Thus, in these talks, we can experience and not merely make it an intellectual argument, If I say something to you and you merely react in your intellect according to your ideas, you react and you create another idea in your mind through your reaction to what I say to you, you are only experiencing in your intellect. If I say something to you and you reject it because you do not believe it because of your conditioning, you are not listening to me either. But if you truly listen to me, and at that same time allow transformation to take place within yourselves by knowing, understanding the self and the ways of the self, the cause of your antagonisms and why, then that transformation will take place. Now, the judge is as guilty as the accused. Each one of us has built up this civilization. Each one has contributed towards its misery. Each one of us is responsible for its actions. Are we not each one of us the outcome of each other's actions and reactions? What we see is the collective result of our thoughts and actions following a pattern in opposition to another. So what we see individually is the collective result of our own thoughts and actions. What we see in the world today, war here, there, and everywhere, is a result of our own actions and reactions. You put the blame on someone else, but you have never looked into yourself. If you are antagonistic, you are just as responsible as the war is taking place away in the distance. Because as sure as anything, that war will come to yourselves if you are not aware of the falseness of the things that cause these troubles. No personal group or nation is separate from another. We are all interrelated. We are one, whether we acknowledge it or not. We separate ourselves to condemn or to praise. The power to oppress leads to complete disaster, and every group which is large and well organized becomes a potential evil. By shouting loudly enough about the evil of others, we overlook our own, and the greatest evil is to kill another. When we allow such an evil, we let loose countless minor disasters. Is it not a fact that we do not condemn war, but those who are cruel in war? But war is the foundation of cruelty, is it not? We do not condemn war, but we condemn the people who are cruel in war. And here we see prisoners who are the subject of cruelty, and we condemn this cruelty. But do we condemn the foundation of cruelty, which is war itself? People are not capable of thinking because they're too conditioned according to their ideals and ideas. In most individuals there is confusion, there is misery, there is struggle between good and evil, not only in the individual but in the world, which is the extension of the individual. Therefore, no one is secure in the dualistic pattern. The important thing then is to find out our relationship to the whole, confusion, chaos, and misery. To find out our relationship to that confusion and that misery, to see how we are contributing to it. You cannot see unless you discern the self. I said the other day, did I not, if I'm conditioned against any particular section of people, if I'm conditioned against a Chinaman, if I'm conditioned against a German or an Englishman, or whatever the case may be, And immediately I hear that he's English, I immediately look at him through my conditioning, do I not? Therefore I look at him as I know of my own mind, of my hate or my jealousy or my antagonisms against that individual comes up, and I look at that individual that way. If I did not know anything at all about his nationality, and I met him face to face, I would not be conditioned about him at all. Therefore, to be free yourselves, you must free the other person completely and look at him stripped of all these things, clear as a living person, just a living person. Yes, how difficult it is. I can imagine how often Jesus thought, when he was teaching, how difficult it was for the individual to give over his condition. That's what he said. Yes, it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than a man who's caught up in the riches of the world. When we become aware, we will see that all comes about through our own consciousness. Immediately we grasp this truth, we will see how our troubles come about. All our troubles have been brought into operation by ignorance of this truth. Is it not so that most of us desire the good and hate the evil? Yet hating the evil does not dissolve the evil, but gives it a power it does not possess. The eternal, whatever name you like to call it, God, truth, etc., is the only power that is. All philosophers, all religions have proclaimed it so. Yet have they found it? And can it be found in a pattern, or a religion, or a creed, or a book, or through another's belief? It's only to be found by yourselves. And by yourself alone, no one can give it to you. I want to show you the absurdity of those beliefs. A child is affected by its parents' belief in sickness and dogma and death, which is real to them. This belief is the enemy to health and happiness, as slavery is to freedom. For man's belief in slavery and disease is colossal. Christ is a true man, and belief in disease and slavery is the enemy of true happiness. We have seen that man will die before he will give up his belief. Yet his belief in disease or any other thing is just a belief. It is not a reality. Is it not so that many of us have a belief in disease, and we will not give up this belief until it destroys our bodies? So we hang on to our belief like grim death before letting it go. We have a belief in disease, so we repeat mantras to try and counteract this belief. But the mantra does not rid us of our belief, because we are caught up in duality and opposites. As a woman said to me not very long ago, she said, "I've learned to say mantras, but you said, I always get the very opposite of what I see." I said, "Certainly, that's exactly what takes place. Because immediately you suggest the opposite becomes more stronger in your mind. These conflict of opposites then become stronger, and the one that is more dominant in the mind shall manifest." Quite easy, quite simple. I said, that's why you get the opposite to your mantra, because the opposite is more dominant in your mind, and you only increase the intensity whenever you say something in opposition to it. So I've blown the gaff, have I not, when you are talking about your mantrums in the morning you start when you're shaving or when you're washing your teeth and when you're going through your clothes or going all the rest of it, you're continually saying mantrams. Going down the street, you're going in the car and you open the door, the office, whatever the case, then you sit down, there's still mantrams going through your mind. All day you're saying mantrams, you've got no time for anything else. Don't you think it's very stupid when reality itself doesn't require a mantram to bring it into operation? Reality is, you don't create it, it's a living expression. I'm a living expression of reality. Do I have to tell myself I'm alive all the time? Do I have to say in myself I'm a living thing? I know that I'm alive. The fact that I know that I'm alive and living, and my livingness is the expression of reality, I don't care about anything else. I know that reality is expressing itself. Reality being patterned in itself and its own creativeness, I'm free. I don't have to trouble myself by repeating mantrams all the time, creating the opposite in my mind. And every time you say a mantram, you create the very opposite in your mind. You're not that is true. So give up this stupid nonsense of mantrams. They're useless. When people are sick, I find them deep in the belief of the disease. When I show them the error and convince them that it has no power of its own, they learn the truth and are free. The divine intelligence is always in operation. When we realize that we die into life and not into death, the struggle ceases. Belief in disease is like any other belief, so we accept the belief of another. The blind lead the blind and we all fall into the ditch. A religious belief in some outside God is the hardest to eliminate because it is an inherited belief. When we see how our beliefs come about, we will discard them. The self desires continuity, so the self accepts any belief that will promise him this. But it is not the continuity of life he seeks, but the continuity of the self. That's what he seeks. And no one can give you the continuity of the self because there is no such thing. That which continues is not reality. That which has a beginning and an ending is not reality. Anything that continues must have a beginning and must have an ending, and that which continues is not reality. When we discern the ways of the self and what it is made up of, you will find that it is but an illusion. When the illusion dissolves, there is true continuity of life in wholeness and oneness and not in separation. So there is no continuity in wholeness and completeness. It existed eternally. Therefore, there is no beginning and no ending in reality. There is a beginning and ending in the self, but not in reality. In reality, there is no beginning. It's the Word that was in the beginning. And that Word was with God, and that Word was God. And the Word was made flesh. But the flesh has no say in the matter. Therefore, the Word remains immortal. That Word came into time, but that Word existed in the timeless. And as that Word flowed through time, it still passed into the timeless. As the Word becomes the expression in the flesh of man. Now, at this very moment, man is caught up in time, but the Word remains immortal. It is the timeless. Jesus knew this. He was not afraid of death. He only knew life. Why did he know it? Because he dissolved all the faults away. And then he said in these appropriate words, "Of mine own self I am nothing." When we abandon the pursuits of the self, then we will find that which is beyond. And that which is beyond is love, and love is eternal. Then take hold of the tree of life, which is your salvation. Salvation is through love alone, for God is love, and love is God. And this is what we have to experience. Not merely speculating about love. Unless you are born again this time of the Spirit and water, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. This is transformation within. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Vain is their worship of me, for their doctrines they teach are but human precepts. Matthew 15:8-9. Benediction. O Eternal One, I know that Thou art I, and I am Thee, and Thou alone dost exist now and ever will. Thou dost impersonally exist in every soul as love and wisdom. I behold Thee as Christ. I behold Thee as Krishna. In the Babe Thou art fair. In all nations alike, dark and fair, Thou art hidden in the temple of love. In the sea of cosmic infinitude, so do Thou appear unto me, visible and living, for Thou art the ocean of life, O beloved Eternal One. Now let us end. The silent healing is the richest blessing. It's the key to heaven. It's the key to the glory of Christ. It's the peace that comes in the wings of love and brings eternity into the heart. The life of God is always expressing itself in the Mother, and through the Mother we find the nearest creativeness of life itself, because God there is manifesting Himself, creating His own image of life out of His own substance, out of His own consciousness, out of His own life. For there is nothing outside Him. There is no substance. There is no creativeness. There is no life outside Himself, because He is life. Being infinite in nature, He creates within Himself all things. And there He lives, the temple of His own creation. And for the Creator and His creation are one. I am the Father. This is my transformation. This is my peace. I am no longer caught up in opposites, but there in the peace and glory of the infinite, in that infinity which brings that life of love. that we discern the things that are hindering the expression of that which is to you. So do we enter into the kingdom. Kingdom of peace. Kingdom of heaven. Within. God bless you. May his love remain with you. You're going out and you're coming in. That peace that passes all understanding to be with you. It's not a peace as the world gives it peace. The peace beyond the understanding of the human mind comes into being through love. As far as I have loved you, I want you to love one another.